You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to yet another happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of SportsTalk 790. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of SeatGeek. Use the promo code LORockets and you can get a $20 rebate on your first purchase from SeatGeek. So as I said leading off, yet another huge, happy post-game episode. Rockets 107, Celtics 106. It wasn't always happy. Celtics, after being down 12 early in the third quarter, rebounded to take a six-point lead. But the Rockets, on the back of James Harden, made plays down the stretch, did what they had to do to get the win. Now, they survived late because of some very questionable officiating. We'll get to that on the second half of this episode. But for now, I'll let the officials breathe. I'll start with the obvious positives, which are James Harden. 37 points on 8 of 14 shooting. Guys, to score 37 points on 14 shots, that is off the charts efficient. 18 of 18 from the line. Do we even remember 2 weeks ago the game in Detroit when the Rockets almost lost with Harden missing 5 free throws late? I mean, that feels like an eternity ago because of how he's turned it around. So it goes to show you the work that James Harden is putting into this season. I never thought that he had a real mental funk at the line. I thought there was a little bit mechanically off, but boy, has he corrected it. And he's attacking. One great thing about this, he only shot 5 threes. Now, he did make 3 of them, including a big one with a minute to go that put the Rockets up 5. And ultimately, that was enough to hold off the Celtics. But really, Harden attacked tonight, as evidenced by the 18 free throws. He went to the rim. He made plays happen. In addition to the 37 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. He did have the 10 turnovers, but I wouldn't say he was necessarily poor in a half-court setting. He had a few plays where it seemed like he got greedy trying to throw half-court or full-court passes, and the Celtics are a team with Brad Stevens. They are so disciplined. The kind of plays that Harden looks brilliant making against the vast majority of NBA teams, the Celtics are so disciplined, especially with Al Horford, Olynyk on that front line, that they'll make you look a little bit silly. So that's one of those. I give credit to the opponent because I saw what Harden saw, but the opponent was what was different. And that's, you know, it's just one of those games. Thankfully, the Rockets got the win. They now improve to 14-7 on the year. They have won 8 of their last 10, and all of those with Pat Beverly, of course. Pat Beverly's been a real difference maker. Tonight he was, 4 of 8, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Helped hold Isaiah Thomas to just 20 points on 7 of 18 shooting. This is the guy that averaged 26 points a game coming in. And really, the play of the game, when it seemed like the Rockets were down 4 or 6 points the entire fourth quarter, was when it finally got to be a game and Beverly picked him clean. That was when it really felt as if the Rockets weren't just going to play kind of close, because for most of the fourth, it seemed like, you know, they'd push it from 6 down to 2 or 1, and then the Celtics would push it back up to a 6-point game again. That Beverly pick of Isaiah Thomas, that was when it felt that the Rockets really had a shot to win this game. That gave them the lift. Montrezl Harrell did as well. I commented on it during the game. But Harrell, you can see the trust that Mike D'Antoni has gained in him already. Yes, Harrell played 19 minutes. But what was obvious is it was 19 big minutes, including the closeout at the end of the game. This was a game in which I wouldn't say Capella played poorly. He had 11 points and 9 rebounds in his 22 minutes, but he was a minus 10. It didn't seem he quite had his normal energy. Nene played 8 minutes in the first half, but he was 0 of 2. The Rockets did not get going while he was on the floor as well. So it just seemed like that whenever Mike D'Antoni felt that the Rockets needed energy, a shot in the arm, he went to Montrezl Harrell. And they responded very well. This was a game, and not every team is like the Celtics, but the Celtics being such a hard-nosed defensive team, it felt like when the Rockets had two bulldogs out there in Pat Beverly and Montrezl Harrell, that was what they needed to kind of fight the Celtics and the guys like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart that play such just in-your-face physical basketball. With Beverly and Harrell, that was what the Rockets needed to respond. And you give them credit. You also acknowledge Mike D'Antoni for adjusting and seeing that this was a Montrezl Harrell game. It's going to be really interesting when Denonis Mateyunas joins the fold. We did a post-game episode, or not a post-game, a pre-game episode discussing the Rockets' decision to match on him. And what's interesting about that is that Montrezl Harrell's been playing so well. You also had Nene, who did not play at all the last two games of the road trip. So you have a pretty deep front court already with Capella, Harrell, and Nene playing minutes at center, and Sam Decker getting some minutes at backup power forward. And somehow you're going to slide Denonis Mateyunas in there too, because if you're going to pay him $9 million a year to play, he's probably going to play. But it's a good problem to have when you have too many good players. As far as who's going to be the odd man out, I think it's pretty clear that Nene is having a tough time earning minutes. I know they said rest and that he's trying to, you know, work through some knee soreness, but we've seen throughout this year, there are a lot of matchups, especially in the increasingly athletic NBA, where Nene has a tough time at his age, moving side to side, especially in the half court, to hold his own defensively. We've seen Harrell start to take more of those minutes, and now I think Mateyunas can be an upgrade on both. The trick is going to be, can you still find minutes for Harrell as well? Because there are some matchups like tonight where you need Harrell's mean streak. You need his nastiness. This was a game, Mateyunas gives you more fundamentally sound defense, but he doesn't always give you that nasty streak. That's what Montrezl Harrell gives you. Also, there was a great point by a couple of people during the game that Montrezl Harrell gives you an ability to switch on everything defensively. That is so key. Now, Mateyunas can do that as well. He moves in space. But Nene, he certainly can't switch on everything. And Capella, he can switch a decent bit, but certainly there are guards that can take him out of his element. Montrezl Harrell, he actually had a couple of plays down the stretch of the game when he moved well with Isaiah Thomas. There was one that actually he recovered from being a little bit behind to swat at Isaiah Thomas, shot out of bounds down the stretch of that game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mike D'Antoni juggles the minutes, because Clint Capella is playing extremely well. We've talked about that. Mateyunas is potentially a good player. You have Ryan Anderson and Sam Decker at the four spot. But Montrezl Harrell, you can't forget about him. And I guess the real issue, if you have too many good players, that's a good problem to have. Honestly, you're probably going to have injuries at some point. It seems like the Rockets dodged one with Eric Gordon tonight. He turned his ankle at the end of the game. Now, he said in the locker room afterward that he's okay. He's going to practice tomorrow. He's going to play Wednesday. Not worried at all. But as a reminder, there is probably going to be an injury to someone. And at that point, you know, the minute situation will resolve itself. But for now, it's going to be a dogfight for minutes. And you hope Montrezl Harrell doesn't get forgotten. But at the same time, you can't worry about it too much, because it's a good problem to have if the Rockets are just too deep and have too many good players. Now, I'm going to get to the officiating situation in a minute, because if you follow me on Twitter, I know you guys know my take on that. I was not happy at all. Before we get to that, I know we talked about James Harden, who clearly led the way, 37 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. Let's also throw a shout-out to Trevor Ariza. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 1 big assist to Montrezl Harrell for a go-ahead jam. Trevor was gutting through back spasms. You could tell if you watched him, he didn't have his normal lift. When he went inside, he didn't finish with the authority he usually does. He had a heat pack around his back on the bench. He was not himself, but he gutted it out for 33 minutes, 15 and 8. Boy, that is true professionalism. And when you talk about a winning culture, that is what makes guys want to run through a wall for each other. When you see a guy who was doubled over Friday night with back spasms, was floored that he even felt good enough to, you know, be labeled questionable going into this game, and then he guts it out for 33 minutes when he's clearly not himself, that's the kind of thing that makes his teammates respect him and makes everyone play hard. So even though Ariza didn't necessarily make a game-defining play late, just the overall 33 minutes he gave you, you have to give him respect. This was a, wow, this was a game where you saw what Trevor Ariza is all about, a true pro. And he was a big part of why the Rockets were able to grind out this game, even though they didn't play that well. Now, the big negative, we were talking about where to fit in Mateyunas in regards to Harrell, Capella, and the center rotation. Mike D'Antoni said before the game that he could also play at power forward. Well, on a related note, Ryan Anderson was 0 for 6 tonight and had 2 points. Now, he still played 29 minutes, but I think a lot of that is because right now, the Rockets don't really have another option. Yeah, you could play Sam Decker in stretches, but he's not really a four. And if Corey Brewer falls off, which he has the last couple of games, maybe you want Sam Decker playing more of your minutes at the three anyway, especially if you're trying to maybe keep Ariza's minutes down a little bit. while he recovers from this back issue. But Ryan Anderson, he played 29 minutes now, even though he did not make a field goal the entire night. He did not rebound especially well, 6 rebounds. And he's defensively a negative in most games that he played. And that's not an indictment of Ryan. We know Ryan is what he is. Now, I've said on the show, he needs to finish in traffic more. And he only took one shot inside tonight, missed it. And I would say he needs to get better. But by and large, he had a great road trip. I'm not going to rip Ryan. He's played very well of late. But Ryan is a guy who depends on his jump shot. And this road trip, he had it, played very well. He was a huge part of why they were able to win in Golden State. And you tip your cap to him. But there are going to be nights where if his jumper is off, or if he's playing, you know, a certain type of defensive front court, and I'll say the Celtics tonight with the likes of Horford, Olenek, they're able to switch a lot, play in space. Maybe this was a bad matchup for him. And if it is one of those nights for Ryan, it's tough for him to have much value away from shooting because that's just who he is. So if you have Dinantz Moneyunas, maybe that's another true power forward body you can put in as an alternative to Ryan Anderson if he has one of these nights. You hope it doesn't have to happen that often because you're paying him $80 million for a reason, but we know it's the type of player that he is. This was a bad matchup for him. He missed a few shots, and maybe if you had Dinantz Moneyunas, the Rockets would have been comfortable closing the game with him, especially because he's got a decent three-point stroke, so he could keep the defense honest as well. It felt like down the stretch of that game, Ryan Anderson's out there as basically a decoy, and there's some value to it because certainly he shoots well enough for three that a defense has to respect him, but he did not provide you much value, and certainly he was a negative on the defensive end. So that's just another opportunity where I know a lot of people are saying, well, where do these minutes come from for Dinantz Moneyunas? You can find them. They are there. It's going to take adjusting from game to game, and there are going to be certain games where someone doesn't play and people wonder how could this happen, blah blah blah. But big picture, none of these players are so good that you just can't sit them at a given time. And so Anderson, Capella, Nene, Demo, Harrell, you can mix and match those. And if you have a good coach that commands respect in the locker room, which Mike D'Antoni does, I think he can make it work. Now, I'm sure some of you are waiting on my officiating rant. We'll get to that momentarily, but for now, I do want to acknowledge our great sponsors over at SeatGeek. Because the NBA season, well, it's back in full force, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way for you to find tickets to the games you want to see up close and in person this season. The Rockets are home for 5 of their next 6 games, 11 of their next 16, I believe, and SeatGeek is the easiest way to buy tickets. I've said before, I'm a big proponent of buying tickets through the secondary market. Rather than paying marked up prices at the box office through dynamic pricing, you can buy directly from the season ticket holders in many cases at a lower rate. And SeatGeek is great. They back everything with 100% guarantee. They search multiple ticket sites and they grade every ticket from 1 to 100 to assure that you are getting the best deal and the best bang for your buck. Now, here's the most important part. My listeners here at Locked On Rockets, you guys all get a $20 rebate off of your first ticket purchase. To do that, here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app. You can do it on your iPhone, your iPad, any cell phone. Just SeatGeek, search for the app, download it, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LO Rockets. From there, SeatGeek will send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download that SeatGeek app on your phone and enter the promo code LORockets today. So for the back half of this podcast, I know a lot of you guys that follow me on Twitter have been waiting for my officiating rant. And if anybody missed the game, here's what happened. Yes, the Rockets won 107-106, but they had the ball up 107-104 with 20 seconds left. Actually, they missed a shot, but Pat Beverly, one of those overlooked plays of the game, Pat Beverly made a great play getting an offensive rebound on a missed shot that should have secured the game because the Rockets were basically just holding the ball to get fouled. James Harden, 18 of 18 from the line. They got it to James. If he made his 2 free throws, they would have been up 5 with under 20 seconds left, and that should have been game over. Well, what ended up happening, they did get the ball to James successfully with under 20 seconds left, but they tried to double him. Marcus Smart tried to take the foul, actually touched him on both arms trying to grab him. They did not call that foul. James rotated his arms, and James's elbow made contact with Smart's face. Smart took a dive. It's what he does. Now, he did get hit in the face, but if you've watched Marcus Smart, this is what he does. Not every contact to the face is created equally. Just because someone touches you in the face, does that give you a right to jump or launch yourself 20 feet away, which is what he almost did in this case, taking a dive. But not only did they call it an offensive foul, they reviewed it and called it a flagrant foul. And it could have cost the Rockets the game because Smart went to the line, made his two free throws, which made it a one-point game. And then the Celtics got the ball out of bounds with a chance to win the game and actually ended up having an Al Horford layup that could have won it almost at the buzzer that thankfully rolled out. But my point on this, if you had made the initial call correctly, Harden goes to the line and you're likely up five. And as it turned out, because of that, the Celtics get the ball and have a chance to go up one or two. That is potentially a 6 or 7 point swing on officiating, and that to me is unacceptable. Now, there are so many angles to talk about this. First off, I'm not crazy about that being an offensive foul to begin with. First off, it should have been a foul on Marcus Smart for reaching in. I mean, he tried to commit the foul. But secondly, James has a right to his space. Now, I know they're trying to crack down on head contact, his emphasis across sports. I get it. But to me, a player has to be able to rotate his arms. That's common basketball instinct. If someone goes near you, you have a right, if you have the ball, to the space around your body. So if you rotate, especially if a player ducks his head and gets in there, well, that's an inherent risk of getting so close. And by the way, the reason Marcus Smart was so close is because he fouled James. He was taking a foul. That's a big part of why he was so close to where James Harden's elbow could make contact with his face. So that's one angle of it. Another angle, to me, even if you want to say that's an offensive foul, I don't agree because to me, a player should be able to create space. You can't get that close to him. But if you want to say that's an offensive foul, I don't agree, but I could respect it and say, you know what, fine. But a flagrant is a game turner. A flagrant is not just giving the other team the ball. It's potentially swinging this, as I said, by 6 or 7 points. It's giving them 2 points and the ball. I mean, you're giving them potentially a 5-point possession. That is huge. To me, you should not give a flagrant, especially in that situation, but really at any point, unless there is something malicious that happened. As we said with the Draymond Green thing in Golden State, a non-basketball act. That, to me, is not a non-basketball act. That is basketball instinct. If someone crowds you and you have the basketball, you are going to try to create space. That doesn't mean you can just wildly swing elbows and try to connect, but James Harden did not do that. Watch the replay. He swung his arm basically just, he was trying to turn, and he was essentially looking for a pass. He wasn't trying to make contact with Marcus Smart's face. Smart crowded him. He actually crowded him because he fouled, and that's what happened. But there has to be intent in the rule. And I know there are some people that interpret the rule as saying, well, intent is not a part of it. I don't care. If that's how you interpret the rule, then it's a bad rule. This is one thing that's different about me. I'll give you guys a heads up well in advance. If you have not followed me on Twitter for a long time, I don't care if something's a rule. If the rule is bad, I'm going to call it out. Just because it's a rule, I'm not going to shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's the way it is. Because that's how bad rules exist. People just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's how it is. No, if that's the rule, then the rule is absolutely silly. You have to give players room to commit basketball instinct. Even if I call it an offensive foul, I'm not crazy about it, but I'll be fine with that compromise. But to call it a flagrant is just silly and ridiculously over the top. Now, thankfully, the Rockets got the win anyway, but I would not like to see this happen. The NBA is a great product, and this had the potential to completely flip the result in an undeserved manner in a game that, should have been, well, and thankfully it will be remembered as a game that the Rockets came through late with James Harden playing like the MVP that he's been for the first month plus of this 2016-2017 season. Now, the final point I would make on this, when the officials went to replay it, because they called an offensive foul on the floor, and then they went to review because there was head contact, they were able to see the entire sequence. And the sequence started, of course, when Smart fouled Harden, but it was not whistled, and then whatever contact occurred between Harden's arm and Smart's face. If you're an official looking at that, the entire reason that contact occurred is because you screwed up. You did not blow the whistle when the contact took place between Marcus Smart and James Harden. If you had done your job and blown the whistle when Smart tried to take the foul. By the way, when a team is down three, spoiler alert, when a team is down 2 or 3 points with 20 seconds left, they're going to try and take a foul. It's what the Celtics were doing. It wasn't a big secret. And you didn't call the foul. That's partially on you. The entire sequence stops in its tracks. If the official does his job and calls a clear foul on Marcus Smart, who touches Harden on both arms trying to commit the foul. So, yes, I understand the rule. I understand issues about safety. But that is a clear opportunity. If you're an official, do the right thing and make a compromise call. Even if you think that's bad, let the officials upgrade it after the game. Let the, you know, the league office talk to James about it if you're really concerned about safety. In terms of, you know, the actual game impact, what it means, it should have been a foul on Smart in the first place. Now, if you want to say it was a little reckless, fine. Even it out and call it an offensive foul. But to call it an offensive foul and a flagrant and potentially swing it by as much as 6 or 7 points the game over what was basically common basketball instinct, that is excessive. And yes, if you play it by the book, if you say, well, I can't, intent doesn't matter. I'm going to call it based on what we see. Was there any contact with the head? And well, I can't judge what happened before that. Sorry, I don't buy that. If you look at replay, you can consider everything. Do what's right. I don't care exactly what the rule says. Get the call right. And maybe that makes me in a minority, but I don't care. At the end of the day, I don't care about the exact letter of the law. I don't care about the rule. I care about getting the call right. And at the end of the day, what happened with the Celtics potentially have an opportunity to swing that game by 5, 6, 7 points. That was not the deserved result. That was an extreme interpretation of the rules. And thankfully, it did not determine the game because the Rockets were able to get a win in spite of it. A lot of ball don't lie. Not just that Horford missed a layup, but as I'm sure you guys saw, Isaiah Thomas basically pulled Montrezl Harrell down on that final possession. That's why he wasn't able to switch on Al Horford. Didn't call that. But then Marcus Smart, Harden going after the rebound, basically barely brushed him with his off arm, and Marcus Smart went flying 5 feet because that's what he does. By the way, another thing, I am highly annoyed by Marcus Smart. As you guys have probably noticed on Twitter, I've followed him since his days at Oklahoma State when I'm, you know, a diehard Missouri fan in college, and he's a notorious flopper. Basically, I would call him the Derek Fisher, Vlade Divac of this generation. It is what he is, and he almost bit the Rockets in this game. Fortunately for the Rockets, they were able to win in spite of it, but I was not a big fan of how that was managed, and I would bet a lot of money that when the last two-minute report comes out on Tuesday, they're going to acknowledge that there should have been a foul called on Marcus Smart against James Harden, and remember, if they make that call, the entire rest of the sequence would not have happened. It should have been a very easy thing, and before you go justifying the officials saying, well, there was contact with, you know, the elbow in the face, there's so many extenuating circumstances there. Number one, not all contact with the face is created equal, as evidenced by Marcus Smart's entire career, I would say. Secondly, you have to consider what led to that and the potential result of flipping the game 4, 5, 6, 7 points was just completely not deserved. At the end of the day, the Rockets did what it took down the stretch of that game to get a win led by James Harden. Fortunately for them, they did, and now they are 14-7 on the year as they get ready for the Lakers and Thunder on Wednesday and Friday nights. Anyway, rant over, and I will wrap up this episode. It's been a busy day with two episodes. If you haven't checked out our Donatus Money Units episode, please do. That's in our archives, anywhere you can find us, Audio Boom, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Just search Locked on Rockets. You'll see our episode from December 5th with Paul, a.k.a. Rocket Intellect, breaking down all the implications from Demo. Talked about it a little bit in the postgame show, but especially in that pregame one. So please tune in if you haven't heard that already. And again, thanks to all of you guys for listening. I know that I'm a very opinionated guy, and I apologize if I bother you too much from time to time, but I do appreciate you very much for getting through my gripes about the officiating. And you know what? We're Rockets fans. We all want to see this team do well, and right now they are, so let's celebrate. It's been a good day. They brought back the Donatus Money-Unis. They got the win, 107-106, so that's a good place to wrap up. Again, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. You can follow me at Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets. You can follow the show at Locked on Rockets. You can also email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me, or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing program, just as SeatGeek is today. Remember, all of my listeners, if you haven't used it yet, you get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase from SeatGeek. Just use the promo code LORockets at SeatGeek.com, their app. Just dial up SeatGeek and whatever tickets you want to buy, Again, Rockets are going to be home for an awful lot in December and January. It's a great place to buy tickets. SeatGeek's our great sponsor. Please reward them. Use that promo code LORockets. So with that said, hope you guys enjoyed the game. Hope you enjoyed having Demo back. I'm sure we'll actually see him at practice and hopefully on the basketball floor within the next week or so. For now, I'm going to try and get some rest. It's been a busy day. I hope you do as well. Again, happy final. Rockets 107, Celtics 106. Rockets now 14-7 on the young season, on pace to win 54 or 55 games. Enjoy it. Have a good night.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.